Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Consider for a moment your activities during a week, the common things. How often do you hear the word holy used? And when it's used, when you hear it, is it in a vulgar term? In a vulgar term, or does it actually have value to it? Is holy more associated with maybe what we see on TV over terrorism and how they invoke the word holy than anything else? What do we call holy in our society? The secular or worldly mindset has tried to erase even the word holy from our American vocabulary. At best, we still use holiday for celebrating important times of the year, but I bet you ask most people and they wouldn't know it means holy day at all. And now, even if the word holy is hard for many to grasp, there are things set apart or honored even by the most secular or non-religious people. For instance, when entering a majestic movie theater, you've been there, and you're getting ready for that great movie you're all been was eager to go and see, right? The lights darken a bit, and the screen puts up first a few announcements, and one of the biggest ones is always, please turn off your cell phone. So you have this place that's silent and everything is supposed to be a certain way. Or maybe if you like, you know, kind of antique-ish kind of things, a classic car show or a tractor show, might be great to walk up and down all that historic value of history restored. Of course, you might see a sign or two that says, please do not touch. And finally, if something tragic does occur, we still at least have enough common courtesy to request for all to take, maybe at school or maybe in a tragedy like 9/11, maybe we'll say a moment of silence. I'm not quite sure what the silence totally means, but at least we have a space for something that may be holy. The setting aside of space, though, for what is holy has more to do with God than what man thinks about it. Israel knew this well. In the Old Testament, when they were at Mount Sinai, God made a holy space to be among his people, and he did it by the giving of the Ten Commandments. His word proclaimed to them, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. This is my space. This jealousy, you see, was protective care God had for Israel. And you know how that kind of played out, right? His holy presence traveled for a time in the tabernacle, they called it, out in the wilderness. And finally, at last, it rested in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, what was a holy space long ago, the Father in heaven has now made permanent in Christ. All who go astray, as we prayed this morning, we pray might come to look to Jesus with penitent hearts and steadfast faith. Jesus and his word are holy. So any can cry out, answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. And according to your abundant mercy, turn to me. The holiness of God comes alive in Christ to cleanse sinners by his sacrifice. And that's what is holy to the church. There was always sacrificing going on at the time of Passover. But how times changed. It didn't always stay the same. When Christ came to the temple, things were not like in the days when he was a baby. And when Simeon picked him up in his arms, and what did he say? Lord, let your servant depart in peace. That was not the holy praise Jesus was hearing. Earthly desires were replacing heavenly promises for his people. The sacrificial system God gave through blood to cover sin had become a plaything of business and profit, buying and selling at markets for animal sacrifice, conveniently made its way all the way into the temple. Bargaining for the best deal had become the holy way to handle yourself in God's house. While everyone else went along with that kind of program, no one really spoke up or really questioned it. Jesus had other plans in mind. At the highest feast of the year of Passover, remembering how God delivered his holy people through the Red Sea from the hand of Pharaoh, and all of a sudden you see Jesus with his hands whipping everyone out from the court of the Gentiles at the temple. I like how St. Augustine, an early church father, puts it. Jesus, who was to be scourged by them, was first the one who scourged. Sinners creeping in on the holy space of God will not stand. The zeal of Christ at the temple teaches what kind of wrath is against us. Israel saw it at Mount Sinai, this kind of wrath that was burning with fire that gave the law, the holy law. And the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and they said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." None comes to God on our terms. And I need to say that once again. You do not come to God or me on our terms. The basis comes from and is set upon his holiness. Christ, you see, knows the heart of men. Our unholy secular society steps on the holy space of God all the time. We see that, especially even with government doing it into the church. But we have to confess, so do we. Like the merchants and the temple, we can shift into convenience mode. Lent shows how we crowd out the holy God in his word. And it can even be with good things, other stuff of life, like family, job, money, you name it, but it can get in the way. The Ten Commandments might even, for heaven forbid, become a motto where we might say, just try your best. But God, above all, uses the law in a holy way to test the hearts of men to finally confess, I am an unholy sinner. Like healing on the Sabbath, they weren't very happy when Jesus did that, right? Christ faced unholy frustration over those he drove out. They demanded a sign to prove his authority for such actions against them. They wanted proof. His response preached the foolishness of the cross. What did he say? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. But of course, so devoid of God's word in their life, so twisted, they took it to be the earthly temple he was talking about. But in truth, their poor treatment in the Father's house was later to turn their hands on the Holy Son of God. However, we find something unique. The disciples were blessed. They were blessed because by the Holy Spirit, they remembered God's word and what it said. Zeal for his Father's house did consume Jesus, but it exceeded driving out unholy offenders of the law. God was to make a place where sinners would not creep in on him, but come to him in repentant faith. This zeal is what drove Jesus to grief and sorrow deeper than disgrace over the temple. I mean, that was a hard thing to see, I'm sure. But suffering and death would consume Christ at the cross in the most unholy way in his very body. And in his passion, a place of madness became a place of pouring out faithfulness, precious and holy in the sight of God, even though no one else thought it was special or holy. Disciples ran away in fear. Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it. And even his enemies said, "You who would destroy this temple and raise it up, come down from the cross." But in God's sight, it truly was a place of holiness by the sacrifice of his Son. Christ provides a holy space for us in him. Luther tells us, "But whoever wants to call upon God, regardless of where he may be in the world, must turn his face heavenward to Christ, and thus come to God through Christ, the real and true temple. For Christ is the proper mercy seat with whom sheer mercy and love and kindness are found. But whoever seeks God apart from Christ will find the God described by Moses as a devouring fire." The law condemns. The law puts to death sinners. The law does not quiet calm hearts in Christ without him who is our Lord. In other words, there are no other holiness, no matter how great it may appear, or how much you may feel from it, how well it gets dressed up, or how convenient it may be. It comes by the promise of God's word that we receive purely from Jesus. You saw this work today already, this holy Son of God, through baptism. Came to Riley, and indeed, it stepped into his unholy life with the holy Son of God to wash him clean, to be able to indeed have him step into the very holy of holies, to have Christ be his Lord and Savior. His victory over the cross has the authority to make the unholy holy in his name. You played out your baptism again today. We had a baptism, and then we started the service, and we began in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, our baptism, and then we confessed our sins, because we dare not come into his presence unless he would cover us in his holy word that forgives. Rather than chasing you away, your baptism speaks a better word. St. Paul said it today, "And because of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as is it written, let the one who boasts, boasts in Jesus." That's what it's saying. So Riley might be able to say as a young person, and any people who might say, "What is holy in our society?" He might witness and say, "Jesus is the Holy One who indeed has stepped with his holiness into my life. Cleansed by Christ, his foolishness is alive with a holy space in our hearts. Jesus speaks forgiveness to every sin that weighs us down. He seeks to dwell in our suffering with peace the world cannot give. He desires to exchange our sorrows over death and on how unholy it looks with his life, the very life that cannot die, the very life that will even raise the dead on the last day, promising his saints glory forever in his name. Rather than an earthly temple, the word and sacraments are holy space. These measly common things are holy to God. God brings all holiness into the lives of his people by these means of grace." A few years ago, we had some visitors from Kenya, and it was during Lent, because I remember him preaching. And when he was here with his wife, I was showing them the church, and the last place I showed them was, of course, the sanctuary. And I remember coming through these doors, and it was a remarkable thing, because they came and stood here, and they were looking, and they were just, you know, admiring everything, and they were very, you know, wow, you know, because they don't have that in there in Africa, not even close. And the remarkable thing to me, though, was is they stopped and paused at the altar, and they bowed and said a prayer. Nobody else was there. Why did they do that? To us as Americans, we think that'd be foolish, silly. Not to them. They know in this space, God does holy things, doesn't he? In this space, by word and sacrament, he carries out his grace and forgiveness for sinners. Doesn't have to be in this building per se, but around those things, God does his good work, wherever it may be. And we enshroud those things with things that show it is good. You see, one of the hard things we forget is, why Why do you bow? Because of law? Because of gospel. Jesus bowed his head on the cross for you. If you can kneel, why do you kneel? Because Jesus knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane with drops of blood to indeed to bury all my sins with his sacrifice. As much as St. Peter was a zealot looking to take back Israel, and I'm sure St. Peter, when he saw Jesus, you know, cleaning out the temple and going to town, I'm sure Peter was feeling pretty good. And, you know, that's part of the reason why he drew his sword to chop off the ear of one of those soldiers that come take Jesus away. But Peter became a servant of another kingdom, didn't he? Through the cross, he became a servant of the kingdom of Christ. And as much as St. Paul had a zealous life of a Pharisee, he wanted to do good. He did was a pretty good guy as a Pharisee. Paul turned to suffer for the gospel at the hands of sinners to make them saints because the crucified Lord of glory saved his life on that road to Damascus. The zeal of Christ appears foolish, but his power and wisdom preserve more than a temple. God builds up living stones, the church, where his holy space now is at home in your lives, the common lives, the very basic lives you live are holy to God. And people will witness that of what they see in you as you set those things apart in your life of prayer, devotion, coming before the holy God, so that they too might have a holy space to see a witness of the gospel for them. May you rest assured the holiness of God comes alive in Christ to cleanse any and all by his sacrifice. Amen.